Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Children need affirmation, appreciation, and they need affection. I've told you before, I had three sons. I kissed them all their life. I still kiss them. That's the way you do it, to express my affection, profess my love. I care about you. You care about me. There's nothing wrong with that in the world. And sometimes you guys may not want you to do that. I remember a teenage guy said, "Dad, you come up and kiss me in front of my buddies. They just think that's weird."
The truth is, you have an active role to play in raising the next generation. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, "Thou Shalt Not Be a Passive Parent," where he shares practical insight for raising kids who will make a difference in the world. So keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you The 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, "Thou Shalt Not Be a Passive Parent," Part 2.
And another thing, this is the other direction of a kind of passivity that's built in here. Not only being overly lenient, but being overly strict. Dot every I, cross every T, overly protective. And that leads into be overly involved. Your daughter's a cheerleader in junior high school, and she cheers at all the games, and you go to every game, the soccer meets, the basketball, the football, the tennis, the thing, and all of a sudden, you're overly involved. Every time a parent can go in homeroom, every kind of parent can show up, you are omnipresent with your children. You never let them move very far until mom or dad is there hovering. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to be involved, but you can be overly involved. So the bottom line here is, when we're parenting under the curse, when we're parenting on the basis that we are going to live out our lives vicariously through our children, or we're going to let our children go their own way and do their own thing because we want to have our own happiness and our own pleasure and pursue our own vocational interests, this is when we are parenting under the curse. We are provoking our children to wrath. We're provoking our children to rebellion. We're provoking our children to go in the opposite way that God has bent them, as the Bible says. That is parenting under the curse. Now, how do you parent with grace? That's the rest of Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the admonition, in the discipline, in the teaching of the Lord. That's how you parent with grace. How many of you belong to the American Automobile Association? You're a member of AAA. Would you lift your hand? You know, I belonged for years and years, but every time I had a flat tire, I'd look and I was about 2 months overdue from paying. Anyway, let me give you parents AAA. If you're going to parent with grace with your sons and daughters, there are three A's, triple A, you need to nail down. First of all, there is affirmation. You've got to affirm your children, especially dad. You know, the parents figured out pretty early that there's a relationship with mom that's sort of supernatural. See, mom carried them for those 9 months. But dad can kind of back up. We've got to affirm them, that we are proud of them, that we love them. They are special. And you can do this at night, dad. Go by the bed and hug them and kiss them and stroke their hair at all ages and say, I want you to know I'm proud of you. You're special. You're just exactly what I would have ordered if I could have written out a prescription for you as God gave them. Affirm your children. Eddie Cantor, The Last Generations, as he looked at a list of the FBI's 10 most wanted, he said, those who are on that list would not be among the 10 most wanted if they had been wanted when they were children. Let your children know that they are wanted. Affirm them. Build them up. Encourage them. That's what we're to do. Also, we are to appreciate them. They need appreciation. There's not anybody here that does not need affirmation and appreciation by significant people that we look up to or significant people that we know. Everybody needs that, and especially through these little miracles that God has entrusted us with. They need appreciation. I always enjoy, and we have our concerts here. We have, so many little children singing, teenagers and preschoolers singing. And I remember it's great, particularly when the preschoolers sing. We'll have 200 or 300 up here at a time, and they'll walk up and, you know, they're free agents. I mean, they just do anything. It's some experiences up here. And they line up all the little preschool, you know, all your sons and daughters. And they sit there and they present their little concert. And by the way, I sit up here usually. I don't try to watch the kids. I watch their parents. You are a much better show than the kids. It is great to see the dad there say to the son, the mother say, you know, they're just a multiplicity of signals that you're giving all these little ones up here, and they're looking and they're waving and they're walking around. I mean, they're having a big time. They don't know anything about me, and it's a show to watch you. And every mom and dad or grandma, they look only at their son. It could just be one person up here, nobody else. This sort of, boy, they're zeroed in. Does she look right? Is he doing it right? Is he saying every word? You know, how do they look? Man, it's a big deal. And you know, we've had some terrible head-on crashes with photographers of mom and dad. Boom, down here at the front. I mean, trying to, it is a zoo. I remember one such occasion. After it was over, I was talking to someone, and I kind of looked over the side, and I saw one little, a five-year-old girl. She just ran out, and the concert was over, and she grabbed her daddy's leg, and she was looking up at him, and the daddy said, Susan, you be quiet. I'm talking to Mr. Coughlin here. You just be quiet. I wanted to go over there and grab him and say, you are too stupid to be a parent. He was saying, my talking with this adult, Mr. Kaufman, is more important than affirming you, as probably she was the first time in her life she'd ever performed anything in public. All she needed was dad to say, boy, that was great. And parents, learn how to get down to the level with your kids. You know, just walk around a room of adults sometime on your knees and you'll see how they feel. It's a different ball game down here. Get down with them, look at them. Identify with them. If that dad had just for a moment got down and said, you are the best. You were so cute. I'm so proud of you. You knew almost every word, anything. Mr. Coughlin, Mr. Rockefeller, and everybody, doesn't make a bit of difference. Children need affirmation and appreciation, and they need affection. I've told you before, I had three sons. I kissed them all their life. I still kiss them. To express my affection, profess my love, I care about you. You care about me. There's nothing wrong with that in the world. And sometimes you guys don't, may not want you to do that. I remember a teenage guy said, Dad, you come up and kiss me in front of my buddies. They just think that's weird. He said, well, we'll substitute maybe a high five. And so, bam, they gave a high five. Show affection to your children. Touch and hold and cuddle and love and listen. That's important. They need affection from mom and from dad. The girls and the boys, show affection. AAA, affirmation. You're wanted, you're special. Appreciation, I'm proud of you. If you're going to be a parenting with grace, you also have to understand the stages of development with your children. Now, this is a matter of discernment. This is a matter of knowing where they are in their maturity. I mean, the first is from birth until they're two. This is the caregiving phase. It's full time, isn't it? I mean, I'm telling you, it is full time and bottles and diapers and naps and doctors and, I mean, the whole thing is full time. I mean, the first 2 years, it is, that's it. That's life. Everything is defined by that little bundle that God has given to you. The second phase goes from about two until they get to be about six, and that is the authority phase. That's when you assert your leadership. Now, understand, you said two to six. That's exactly right. That's when they come to realize that it's mom and dad who calls the shots. It's mom and dad who has the authority. It's mom and dad who has the leadership. And you have to deal with temper tantrums. You have to deal with a whole lot of things that take place in this time of establishing your authority. The family is not a democracy. The parents establish authority from two to six. And then from about six to 12, that's another phase. I call that the teaching or the training phase. This is when some discipline comes in. And parents, you have to discipline with discernment. That's so important. I mean, it may be a situation that you'll have to spank. It may be a situation where you have to ground or you have to have timeouts. It may be a situation where you say, partner, let me tell you something. I know you realize what happened here. I know you realize what you did was wrong. But man, it's all right. I know you got the message. Get out of here. See? You got to consider what's happened and consider if they're broken, consider if they understand, and use the right kind of teaching, training, methodology to get the message across. Daddy took his son fishing, and they had a little cabin in the middle of a lake in New Hampshire. And they went late in the afternoon, and they went out to a little dock, and they were catching little sunfish there with a pole and some worms, and they kept fishing. The boy was having such a good time. And so then he got his rod and reel out. He threw it out there and cast one of those spinner baits. He started popping into the water and just playing around with it. And all of a sudden, this fish came up there and hit that little bait and struck that bait, bam! And boy, little guy just inadvertently set the hook, and I mean the battle was on. He was fighting that guy. He couldn't see it because it was dark. It was jumping up. He fought it. His daddy was giving him instructions as to what to do. And finally, the fish was exhausted, and he pulled that big monster ever so carefully on the dock. And he looked down. He said, Dad, look at that. It's the biggest bass I've ever seen. Have you ever seen a bass that big? His father said, it's the biggest bass I've ever seen. Then his father looked at his watch and struck a match and saw it was about 5 minutes after 10 at night. He said, son, you know, in New Hampshire, we have seasons for catching bass, and bass season doesn't open till 12 midnight today. He said, you missed it by almost 2 hours. You've got to take that fish off the hook and put it back in the water. Ooh, that little 11-year-old said, Dad, I'll never catch a fish this big again. His dad says, there are plenty of fish, but that's the law. Put it back in the water. Boy, he reached down. Can you imagine? Took the hook out of the fish's mouth, put the fish back in the water, and that big monster, he just swam off there in the lake. That little boy today is an architect in New York City. And he says, you know, since that time, I've never seen or caught a bass that big. He said, I've never seen or caught a bass that big as I caught when I was 11 years old. But he said, I want to tell you something. I have seen that bass almost every day of my professional life. He said, every time I'm making out the charge slip, the time it took me to draw those details in that architectural project, he says, I think about adding about an hour or so, nobody would know. He says, I see that big bass. He said, every time I see someone of the opposite sex sort of pay special attention to me and flirt with me and kind of give me the eye that, you know, I may be available, you and I need to go out and have dinner together, he said, I think about that big bass and the morality of it. He said, every time I'm tempted to lie or cheat or steal or do something immoral or take a shortcut in my profession, he said, I see that big bass. He said, that big bass was the catch of a lifetime. Parents, make sure in the bringing up of your children, there are a lot of big bass illustrations that they can use when mother or dad did that which was right. Because you're teaching by your model and by your words something that they will carry with them for good or for evil the rest of their life. So there is that 6 to 12 period. That is that teaching period. Then there's that 12. By the way, the teaching period is like a personal trainer. You train, you say, this is how you play the game, here are the rules, you get in shape, and it's the personal trainer. And now you go from 12 to 19, that's when the parents are no longer teaching, they've become coaches. See, they're not in the game. The children are not in the real game from 6 to 12. But from about 12 to 19, they're out there on the field, and the parents are coaches, you're cheerleaders. You're calling some plays, and they have to check off at the line themselves because they are running the plays, but you coach. And they'll heed your coaching if you've done the job, if you have been there, proactive, godly, and sensitive during all the stages of child caring, authority, training, teaching, then coaching, and they'll listen. They get to be 19. You're no longer a coach, mom and dad. Now you become a friend. Isn't that great? And you sit down with your sons and your daughters, they're 19 them up, and get a cup of coffee, and they're your friend. Prior to this time, there was that one-up relationship. Now it's the eye-to-eye relationship. Now, leadership comes in the lives of your children not by authority, but leadership comes by relationship, you see. And I can tell you, it is magnificent to have children that are your friends. You see, that's our goal. But are you parents here tonight willing to pay the price to build life and the right stuff in your sons and daughters? Are you really willing to pay the price? Dr. Neil Littleford and his son Mark went fishing in Alaska. He'd promised his son they would go there for years, and Mark now was 12 years old. They flew to Alaska. They had a little pontoon plane there, and two other men went along with them, a pilot and another man, and they flew back into a little lake there in Alaska, and they began to fish, but they didn't catch anything. And the pilot said, I know where we'll go, and so he took off the next day, and they flew into a bay there in the Arctic area, and he said, the salmon are coming in. We're going to catch fish here. And sure enough, they put their hook in the water. Those fish were tackling each other, trying to get to the hook. I mean, it was a mayday. They were catching fish, salmon left and right. It was some kind of day. The dad was excited. The boy was excited. Man, they were catching fish. They were catching fish. At the end of the day, they went to get in the plane, and they'd forgotten something. There's a 23-foot tide into this particular bay in Alaska, and the plane was now on rocks. So they couldn't take off with the pontoon, so they spent the night, they cooked the fish. Can you imagine, man, in that pristine forest, cooking those salmon they'd caught, camping out. It was a great night. And next morning, they got up, and the tide had come back in. They got in that little pontoon plane, And they took off, but they discovered too late that one of the pontoons was cracked and water had come in the pontoon and filled it, and the plane began to gyrate as it got a little bit over the water, and they crashed in the Arctic Bay. All four of them survived the crash. Two of the men got out and they started to swim for shore, and Dr. Littleford and his son Mark, they started to swim for shore, and the two men were strong swimmers and they made it to shore, and the doctor was a strong swimmer, but a 12-year-old boy, he was a good swimmer, but wasn't physically strong enough to make it with a riptide. And so the two men got to shore. They looked back and they saw that the father could have swam to shore safely, but he couldn't have brought his son with him, and the son wasn't strong enough to do it. So they watched the father and son as the father held his boy Mark, and they floated out into that Arctic water till it became a spot. And they disappeared together. And they died shortly thereafter of hypothermia. Thought about that a long time. I said, I wonder what I would have done if I'd been that father. I'm not particularly the heroic type. What would I have done? I decided, 100% sure, I'd have stayed with my boys. I could have swam out. Man, I'd have stayed with my guys, I'm sure. And I don't think that's very unusual. I think virtually every mother and every father here would have done the same thing Dr. Neil Littleford did. I believe you would. But I want to ask you something. If you as parents are willing to die with your children, are you willing to build life in your children as they're growing up, parents? You'd make the ultimate sacrifice of giving your life, but will you make those daily sacrifices in order to build a man out of that boy, and a girl, a woman out of that girl? They'll be God-fearing folks, and they'll rise up and call you blessed. Thou shalt not be a passive parent.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling, so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in next week as Dr. Young shares a special message about what it means to instill biblical values in your home. That's Monday on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And have a great weekend.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350-350-9255.